Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday is a strange day. Most special days on the Christian calendar are there because of some specific action in the life of Christ or in the life of the church. There might be some doctrine connected with the action, but the doctrine derives from the action. The doctrine of justification is the result of the passion of Jesus. The doctrine of the incarnation is the attempt to grasp the reality of Christmas. But Trinity Sunday is about the doctrine first. The doctrine of the Trinity is the starting point of how the church lives in this world. And my starting point today is a series of conversations I've had recently. I usually avoid that starting point for a couple of reasons. The first is I just hate the navel-gazing and special pleading, as if my personal experience was so deep that I get to afflict you guys with it for 10 minutes. The second is any possible confusion that I'd take and run with things that were given privately. These conversations were public ones, not from a confession. I'm pretty sure they were not with anyone in the congregation. The wonders of social media. You never know who you're actually talking to. As for the special pleading, I hope that I can universalize it. Okay, that's enough throat clearing. All of the conversations circled around two ideas: the goodness of creation and the real evil of the fall. All of these conversations would start with some type of assertion like, that's the way God made us. It would be unjust to hold me accountable. At the start of Pride Month, you probably know what these conversations were started with. But I want to turn to a personal experience here. You guys might not have seen it yet. And at 51, maybe I'm mellowing a bit. But I've always had a temper. And I'm not just talking about snit fits. But you could reach for terms like rage or wrath. As a high school sports player, I got kicked out of my share of games on technical fouls. Embarrassing to admit, but my kids have seen this occasionally. As far as I can determine, this is just the way I am. I didn't learn it from my parents, who are both rather gentle. I didn't teach it to myself, because my mother tells stories of the horrors of trying to feed me as a baby, and the fits that I'd pitch, just completely out of rage. And then sometime in Sunday school class, I remember hearing Jesus being quoted as saying, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. As someone who had called his brother a fool many, many times, that verse struck. And at the same time, the idea that it was completely unfair came. This temper was part of who I was. Surely the occasional outburst was not enough to be liable to the fire of hell. Now, there are lots of things that actually might go the same way. Alcoholism seems to have a genetic component. We all seem to want more than we have. We all envy our neighbor's car. Whether you want to blame genetics or nature or God himself, there are lots of things that we call vice or sin that seem to be natural. That is our situation under the law. And the first way to try to wiggle out of it is usually to deny the goodness of God's creation. God, you messed up. You didn't make things right. Guess I'm going to have to cover for you a little bit. Or, you didn't make me right. It's the pot calling the potter wrong. The slightly less radical version of that is, God, you didn't give me enough. The scarcity of something you didn't provide is what is causing this. I have to do this because this is how I continue to exist. Maybe you made okay, but your neglect of your creation. Let me sour. When we talk about the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, we are usually talking about creation. And that's the Old Testament reading for this morning. And the repeated refrain of creation is that God saw this was good. That line appears 6 times. And then in the 7th, in the crowning way, God looks at everything and behold, it was very good. Tov maod in the Hebrew. Maod, power and greatness and might and weight and everything that might add to it, packed into that English word, very. It was very good. However the potter made us, it is very good. And while the work of creation might have been done, the sun and the moon ruled the day and the night, and they continued in their paces. Everything that was made was sustained. And I hope you've heard it before, but G.K. Chesterton tells a great story. Something like, we all know that when we finish reading a story to a child, they say, do it again. And we do. And then they finish it again and they say, do it again. With my last one, it was Curious George Makes Pancakes. I hate that story. We grown-ups get tired. But every morning, God says, do it again. And every evening, do it again. And God has never tired of making everything, do it again. We've sinned and grown old, but our Father is younger than we are. The Christian story of the Father is everything created is good, and He still sustains it all. His providence is more than enough. The pot has no right to say anything to the potter. If we can't reject the goodness of creation or the providence of God, we move on to the trouble with the fall. Whatever Adam and Eve did that messed things up, you can't hold that against me. I wasn't there. And because creation has gone wrong, you can't hold me responsible for what is now my nature. We call this original sin. All mankind was in Adam and Eve, and all have inherited it. And how it shows up is in this fancy word called concupiscence. That's simply the desire to sin. The reformers ask the question, is concupiscence itself sin? You can find this in the Augsburg Confession, Article 2. And their answer is emphatic. This disease or vice of origin is truly sin. Even now, condemning and bringing eternal death upon those not born again through baptism and the Holy Spirit. Not only is the actual action of calling my child an idiot sin, that's just the outworking of my anger. The desire to actually let it go is sin. And we have no excuse. Our second reading from Acts today. This Jesus, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Peter's preaching on Pentecost. The crowds of Passover and the Passion have long gone. These are new crowds. They had nothing to do with calling for Jesus to be crucified. Yet, Peter says, you crucified him by these lawless men. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Our rejection of the potter, our rejection of responsibility, it was our sinful desires that gave power to lawless men. Our own personal desire for lawlessness crucified the Lord of glory. And we have no excuse. Every thought of our natural hearts is sinful. And that is our nature. We don't get to exclude our preferred sins. We don't get to carve ourselves out of this. And it's not unjust to hold us accountable. It's perfectly just that I am liable to the fires of hell for my temper. What then are we to do? If that's truly the case, there's nothing really that we can do. We're all lost. And that's a good conclusion. That's the human experience. I really, really, really want to do this bad thing. And I want to blame God and I want to get away with it. Or maybe the very pious amongst us want some way to earn it. Surely there's something that I can do. And I don't know why our lectionary readers or makers cut it off. But that's the response of Peter to Peter's sermon by those Pentecost crowds. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter's response is the eternal proclamation of the church. And if you don't hear this part, you haven't heard the gospel. But Peter preaches, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Yes, God has made me good and provides everything I need. I cannot deny this. Yes, the desires of my flesh are sinful and deserving of death. I cannot deny that either. But God says, be baptized. Be born again. Receive the forgiveness of sins. Accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have faith that this Jesus, whom the Father has made Lord and Christ, is for you. Peter continues that the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. There's nothing that we can do. The victory has been won by Jesus, and the results are given to us through the Holy Spirit. But I'm probably going to sin again. Repent and believe the victory that has been given to you. But I'll continue. It's forgiven. But I am already wanting forgiven. Go and sin no more. Yes, we should try and mortify the flesh. I try to kill that anger every day. Yes, every day we drown the old Adam and allow the new man to arise. And that fight won't stop as long as we are in this flesh. But the victory has been won. This flesh will fail, yet we shall rise. Because Christ is risen. The Father has made me very good and still sustains me. The Son has redeemed his fallen creatures. And the Spirit leads us in faith towards holiness. This is the Catholic faith. Amen.